Starting here at the top of Pei Bet Amud Aleph, nine lines down. So Amar Rabbi Yami, Hamadpis Ma'ut Maser Sheni L'Shlamim Lo Kano Shlamim. So here a person wants to expend their Ma'ut of Maser Sheni. So he says, or designates, Simon says, I'm going to buy a Shlamim with these monies. So question is, normally when you work with monies, and you say this is designated to Hekdesh, or this is designated to be Konan Olah, or a Shlamim, that's what happens to the money. That designation holds, and you must use the monies for whatever you've said. The question here, by Ma'ot Maaser Sheni, which already have an embedded Kedusha in them, can you then assign them to be Kodesh towards Shlamim? Now we learned before, and that's the Gzeirah Shava that we learned about the Shlamim to Maaser Sheni, that there is a preference. Chazal tell us that it's a good thing to use the Ma'ot Maaser Sheni to purchase a Shlamim with, and bring the Korban Shlamim along with the Ma'ot Maaser Sheni. So Rabbi Yami comes and says that a person who says that I'm designating or I'm going to use these monies to purchase a Shlamim, lo kanu Shlamim. They're not koneh, meaning that the monies don't have to be used for that purpose. My taima, delo alima kedushat Shlamim, mechala kedushat Maaser Sheni. It's very simple. The kedusha of the Maaser Sheni is strong enough that it prevents the Kedusha of the Shlamim from being toface, from grabbing a hold of these monies. And since they already have a designation of Kedusha, to add on the designation of Shlamim, either you have to frame it that the Shlamim is not strong enough to then attach itself to those monies, or the other way around, that the Kedusha, the Maaser Sheni, is already strong enough that it prevents the Shlamim from taking hold of these monies. Now, here you have a case where somebody did the opposite of what they were supposed to do. In a case, a person wants to use the Ma'ot Maaser Sheni, b'chol asher taved nafshecha, do whatever you want, Ma'ot Maaser Sheni, you're supposed to use it for food, in order to consume it within the walls of Yerushalayim. So in this instance, Chazal gives us a suggestion, we learn it out of the Pasuk. If you want to make a korban with it, bring it as a korban shlamim. You want to eat meat, you want to eat regular meat, and you don't want to have to be a korban, buy a chaya with it. A chaya which cannot end up on the mizbeach, that's what you should use for your regular meat purchases. You want to end up with something that ends on the mizbeach, take a behema, and make it into a shlamim. So that's a normal way. Chazal say about that, that if you do such, the orot, the skins. And in their day, the skins were very valuable. They used them afterwards for leather, for throws on couches, for shoes, for whatever purposes they wanted. And therefore, the orot had value. Now, if you purchased with Ma'ot Maaser Sheni, then technically the orot should also belong to Ma'ot Maaser Sheni. But there is a dispensation, as Alim of Chazal say, that the orot belong to the Balim. In an instance, when you do what Chazal said, which is you buy a Korban Shlamim with the Ma'ot Maaser Sheni, or you buy a Chaya for your meat needs with the Ma'ot Maaser Sheni, then the skin of such an animal goes with chulin, and you can do whatever you want with it. Over here, this person did the opposite. That's why we're asking. The question comes from the Mishnah Maaser Sheni, where he did the opposite. Okay, chaya lezivchei shlamim. He purchased a chaya which cannot be used for a korban for zivchei shlamim. He designated for something that cannot be. And again, behema lebasar teva. And then he took a behema which could have been a shlamim, and he uses it for regular meat needs. Then yelo yatzah or the chulin. The or does not become freed of the kedusha of the maser over here. Why is that? So Rashi brings down the kaimalon, the kachwa din lasot kach ma'ot maaser sheni behema b'shlamim v'chaya lebasar teva va'or yotzei the chulin of hacha d'shani. Right over here, where he changed what was going on. Therefore, since he didn't do what was designated with the Ma'ot Maaser Sheni, he loses out his ability to take the orot away from Ma'ot Maaser Sheni, and they remain that way. Lav de memra, isn't that to say the koni shlamim, that the shlamim were toface, and therefore the or doesn't go out to chulin, it remains because it's part of the shlamim. Mar says, lo koni shlamim. No, not that the shlamim were koneh. Umay lo yatza or lo yatze or the chulin. It's not within that framework to go out to the chulin. What does that mean? So here is where Rashi brings the two interpretations. First explanation he brings down is that it goes to chulin the gamre. That ainu betorat, let's say the or chulin, means that it's not in the normal parsha where by a shlamim the or would be released from the kedusha and the remainder will remain with Kedushat Maser Sheni, or by Basar Ta'ava, the same thing by the Chaya, that the Basar would be Kadosh B'Kedushat Maser Sheni and have to be consumed within Yerushalayim, but the Orot would be freed to the Balim. So since it's not in that Torah, then Eino Torah T'chulim Klal, meaning that Rashi says that it's totally rejected. The purchase of these items, Ayidei Maot Maser Sheni, does not work at all. Since it doesn't work at all, you have to replace whatever monies you expended here, the value of the animal, the value of what you expended, you're going to have to replace and buy new food for Maaser Sheni with that monies. So the first explanation says that it fails completely because you didn't do what Chazal asked. The other possible explanation, brought in Rashi, which is Inyan Acher, that the or, the punishment of the knas, only relates to the skins themselves. So just like by a shlamim, when you purchase the shlamim, the basar goes to the shlamim, and remains with the Kedushat Ma'ot Maser. And by the Basar Tava, when you compare Koneh Achaya, the Basar goes to Ma'ot Maser, or has Kedushat Ma'ot Maser. But the Orot there are Chulin, meaning that they're released, and the Balim can do whatever they want. Over here, the Knas of the Chachamim is, since you did it in reverse, you purchased a Chaya L'Shlamim and a Behema L'Basar Tava. In that instance, the Orot are not Yotzei L'Chulin, but now you're going to have to replace those Orot, you're going to have to use the monies or the value of those Orot, and you have to purchase new foods of Maaser Sheni, consumable items that are used for Ma'ot Maaser Sheni. So that would be the two different explanations over here, which is either it means that the whole process doesn't work, since you did it incorrectly, we reject it entirely, and now you have to expend your Ma'ot Maaser Sheni again, or the other possibility is since you violated the suggestion of the Chachamim, fine, it works for the edible pieces, but the non-edible pieces like the Orot, that you'll have to replace because we have a Kenas on you, even though it would work if you did it right. Over here, since you didn't do it right, it'll be rejected. The reason for that is, my time amarava nasek lokeach shor lecharisha. It's like buying an item that is totally not shayach to food. You're allowed to expend ma'ot maaser sheni on edible items, on food items. If you buy a shor to go plow with it, that's not a food item. It's not a food item. Either scenario, either explanation of Rashi, it'll be problematic. Either it's problematically entirely, because it's like purchasing a shor lecharisha, meaning that it's as if you expended all your ma'ot maaser sheni on the wrong thing, and now you have to replace it entirely. Or we can say just about the orot, just about the skins themselves, you've now purchased something that was inappropriate. The basar, okay, you ate it. So that's okay for Ma'ot Maaser Sheni. But the orot, which are not edible, that you're going to have to replace. And that's the Knas Chachamim over here. So now Gemara says, Itmar, Matpis Ma'ot Maaser Sheni L'Shlamim, Rabbi Yochanan Amar Koni, and Rabbi Elazar Omer Lo Koni, it's not Kone. So that's similar to what we just saw from Rabbi Ami, about Lo Kanu, that's also Rabbi Elazar. Now, Agaliba to Rabbi Yehuda, this is a machlokas in the Gemara in Kiddushin and other places, machlokas between Rabbi Meir and Rabbi Yehuda as to the status of the ma'ot of ma'aser. When you have ma'ot ma'aser, are those mamon hejot or mamon gevoa? So they belong to the layperson, to the individual, and he can be mekadesh and isha with them, he can do what he likes with them. Or do they belong to gevoa? They belong to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So Rabbi Yehuda, leave Rabbi Yehuda, damar ma'aser mamon hejot, the mamon really belongs to you as an individual. To kule amalo plige dekani. Everybody agrees it's koneh. Because if you took regular monies and designated them for shlamim, they would also be tofes the kedusha. So ma'ot ma'aser sheni are going to be no different than that. The question comes up, Kipliga Labid Rabbi Meir, Damar Maser, Mamon Gavoal. According to Rabbi Meir, who says the Maser Sheni is not for your own usage, it's not just regular money, it's money that has Kedusha associated with it. That's where they argue. Madam Arlo Koni, Rabbi Meir. The one who says you're not Koneh, Rabbi Lazar, and the same we saw with Rabbi Ami before, it's like Rabbi Meir. Rabbi Meir says, Mamon Gavoal, you can't have it be Tofes, the Shlamim can't be Tofes over there. Madam Arlo Koni, the one who says yes, shlamim are still tofes. Kimit de maser karev le shlamim. Kimit baslei nami tofes. Since one of the usages of the ma'ot maser is to bring a shlamim with it, and that is considered to be a good and proper use of the ma'ot maser sheni, therefore when you designate it as a shlamim, it will be tofes in that instance. Where is this made to be? Amat pis ma'ot maser sheni le shlamim. Kishu podan mosif alein shnei chumshin. A person is designates ma'ot maser sheni for shlamim. When he redeems them, they have to add on 2/1 on top of that. Echad the kodesh, echad the maser. Both kodesh and maser have this requirement that if you redeem an object, if you are the Balim, you have to add on a fifth onto that redemption price. So if you go ahead and are trying to redeem your possessions to bring them up to Yerushalayim, so you have this all this Maaser Sheni produce, and you want to be matpisin onto money, you have to take the value of the produce and then add on a fifth on top of it. By ektish, you have the same thing. A person is makdish his field, then he wants to be puder. He has to add on a fifth of the value above the assessed value. Over here, what did he do? He was matpis ma'ut master sheni lishlamim. So now he has to redeem him. Mosif alei and shnei chumshin. He wants to add on two fifths. One fifth because he's redeeming kodesh shlamim. One fifth because he's redeeming ma'aser sheni. So he has to pay an extra fifth on the valuations, both because of ma'aser sheni and because of ektish. But what do you see over here? It's clear that the shlamim was still faced the ma'ut master sheni. So what are you going to do with this? It says that's not a problem. Misavar divrei akolhi. Who says this bright is authored by everybody? Hamani Rabbi Yehuda. This bright is authored by Rabbi Yehuda. And we know, according to everyone, Rabbi Yehuda, in the sheet that Rabbi Yehuda, everybody agrees that it's a matpis. It works because it's chulin. It's basically chulin. The ma'ut master sheni have a din of mamon hajot. Since they have a din of mamon hajot, therefore they can be tofes over here. The tishlamim is tofes over here. Tosfos says, you know what? The Gemara could have answered the same thing above also. The Gemara could have answered when it brought the question above. It said, oh, the question about the or yotzei the chulin, how come over there it goes through this iteration where it's trying to figure out, oh, the or goes to chulin because it's a fine, it's a kenas, it wasn't done properly, therefore it goes to chulin. Why did they just answer up? It's authored by Rabbi Yehuda. Tosfos says, ain't ochanami. They could have answered that up, that it was Rabbi Yehuda. They were just trying not to make it a divrei yachid. But now they were forced in the position to say it was a divrei yachid, and therefore now they come across the Rabbi Yehuda. But they could have answered that above. Tzon Kodoshim brings down, he says that the Tosfos Shanz disagrees. And he says that you can't answer this because Stam Mishnah is Rabbi Meir. And what we quoted the question from before was a Mishnah in Ma'aser Sheni. The Mishnah in Ma'aser Sheni, which is a Stam Mishnah, you can't answer that it's a Dat Yochid of Rabbi Yehuda because it's a Stam Mishnah. Stam Mishnah is Rabbi Meir. So that's why the Gemara tried to answer according to Rabbi Meir in the previous scenario and didn't say, ah, that's Rabbi Yehuda. Over here, where you have a bright, then already they can set it up like Rabbi Yehuda. So therefore, the Tosfos Shanz says no. The Gemara couldn't have used this answer earlier. The Tosfos over here says they could have used the answer earlier on. Okay, the Mishnah now. Person says I'm obligated to bring a todah. Then now he must discharge his obligation from the chulin and not bring it from Ma'aser Sheni. Talmud Lomar b'zavachta Pesach l'Hashem lokecha tzonu vakar. So this is the pasuk in Re'eh with regards to the Pesach that you can bring the Pesach from tzonu vakar. We know that a Pesach only comes from Tzon. If you look in Shmot, the only thing you can bring a Korban Pesach from is Tzon, not from Bakar. So then why does the Pesach say Tzon uVakar? Although Pesach enu ba'ala min ha-kvasim u-min ha-izim, which are under the subset of Tzon. Tzon are either goats or sheep. So imkein matam lomar Tzon uVakar. Why would you say both Tzon, which are sheep and goats, and Bakar cattle? So lakish kolaba min ha-tzon u-min ha-bakar the Pesach. To teach you that anything that comes from Tzon and Bakar is the same din as Pesach. Ma Pesach davar shebechova ve'ein ba'ala min ha-chulin. Just like Pesach is an obligatory korban and it only comes out of the chulin. Also, any other korban that you have that it's a chova only can be discharged through bringing it through chulin. Since now you're obligated to bring them because you said harei alai, lo yaviu ela min chulin. Then you can only bring them from the chulin. Benisachim bechol makom yaviu min chulin. Nesachim, you have no choice. Nesachim always have to be brought from the chulin. You can never bring them from Ma'ut Ma'aser Sheni. And that has to do with the fact that Nesachim are not eaten by anybody. Nesachim go all to the Mizbeach. They're 100% in the Mizbeach. Either from Mizalfim Yain al Mizbeach, because you sprinkle them on the Mizbeach according to Shmuel, or according to the other dayot where you pour them down to the Shittim through the pipes. Either way, the entirety ends up on the Mizbeach. So since it ends up in time Mizbeach, you can't use Ma'ut Ma'aser Sheni to be purchased then because you're not going to eat them. So therefore, they must be brought from the Chulin no matter what. Now, Pesach Kufay Minovan. How do you know that Pesach, you have to bring Min HaChulin? Titania. But listen, man, never Pesach Mitzrayim, v'nemer Pesach L'dorot. Ma Pesach Amur Mitzrayim lo ba'la Min HaChulin, a Pesach Amur L'dorot lo ba'la Min HaChulin. Just like Pesach Mitzrayim had to come from the Chulin, so too the Pesach L'dorot must come from the Chulin. Why in Mitzrayim did it have to come from the Chulin? Because there was no Ma'ut Ma'aser Sheni in Pesach. Didn't exist yet. So since it didn't exist yet, we know for sure that Pesach Mitzrayim came from the Chulin. If that's the case, then we'll learn the same thing to Pesach Dorot. So Amar Rabbi Akiva, Chi Danim Efshar, Mishi Efshar. How can you learn from Pesach Mitzrayim? Pesach Mitzrayim is a situation, Chi Efshar. There's no way to bring it from the Maaser. So you're going to prove from that that you can't bring it from the Maaser, and then you're going to learn to Dorot where you could bring it from Ma'aser Sheni? So Rabbi Akiva says, no. Amar Lei Apo Pishi Efshar, Raya Gdolahi. Says, even though it's impossible, it's still a good proof. And we'll learn from it. Chazav Rabbi Akiva V'dano Din Acher. Akiva then changed his tack and says, "Omer Malah Pesach Mitzrayim Shkein Taon Matan Damim VeMurim LeGabim Mizbeach." Pesach Mitzrayim is an unusual case. It doesn't require matan tamim to the mizbeach, only matan tamim on the doorpost. The emurim don't go on anybody. They don't go on the mizbeach. So it's a different type of korban. Tomar bePesach dorot sheton matan tamim veemurim legabi mizbeach. Over here, you're bringing a full-fledged korban. Maybe it should be different. So fine, Pesach Mitzrayim can't come from Maser. But maybe a korban, or now that you bring a shlamim, which has aspects of it that go on the mizbeach, maybe that could come from Maser Sheni. Amarlo. Rabbi Lez replies, no. It says in the pasuk, "Vavata tavod azot bechodesh zeh, shiu kol avodot shechodesh zeh kazeh." So that's what it means, that avodah hazot bechodesh zeh. What does that mean? That you're using these generic terms of hazot and azeh to teach you that any avodah that's done in this month is like this. I mean that anything that's done in the future, all the psachim that are going to be done have the same din as this Pesach, the Pesach Mitzrayim, which is Pesach Mitzrayim is not brought from the Maser, so too, all psachim are not brought from the Maser.
But we know that there are so many other differences between Pesach Mitzrayim and Pesach.
Correct. So this limud, or this hekesh, teaches us for this din. That's what Rabbi Lezer says. Now, Rabbi Akiva, even Savrala, now we don't understand. Let's understand Rabbi Akiva. Is Savrala de'in tanin, efshar misha efshar, liko b'milte. Then why do we say Rabbi Akiva changed a new tact? He had a new approach to Rabbi Eliezer. If he believes you can't learn out miyef shevshar, then stand on his place. Why should he change his position? See, if he really changed his mind, and the reason he doesn't learn out of Pesach Mitzrayim is because of his pircha by the case of Pesach Mitzrayim, which had no dam in the mizbeach, no emirim in the mizbeach. That's his pircha. Right then, well, Pesach Midbar yochiach. Then you have the Pesach Midbar, which will be molchiach. Pesach Midbar is a regular Korban Pesach, was brought with dam on the Mizbeach, emurim on the Mizbeach, but it wasn't brought from Maser. How do I know it's not brought from Maser? Because Maser doesn't start Abiyatam La'aretz until they enter into the land of Israel. So they Abiyatam into the land of Israel, we know it wasn't brought from Maser, and I can learn from it. If you say I can learn from Efshar to Efshar, well then I can learn out of the Pesach Midbar. So which is it? Which position did Rabbi Akiva end up with? According to, if he believes that Efshar to Efshar is not allowed, then he should have just stood in his position. He didn't have to change his mind at all. If he doesn't think that, and he thinks you can learn, and he changed his mind to like Rabbi Eliezer, then his pircha, why not to learn at Pesach Mitzrayim, is not a good answer, because you can learn at Pesach Midbar and you end up with the same conclusion. So what's Rabbi Akiva thinking? I said the Dvarav Rabbi Eliezer Kamar. Because I'm speaking in the position of Rabbi Eliezer. What does that mean? The Didi ain't done even Efshar, me Efshar. According to me, this isn't even, we don't even get this off the ground, because you can't learn out of Efshar. Both Pesach Mitzrayim and Pesach Midbar are Efshar. So I can't learn them out to Efshar, cases where you do have positive Meiser. Lidi Dach, you Rabbi Eliezer, Damar, Dani, Efshar, Misha, Efshar, who don't hold of that position. Mala Pesach Mitzrayim shkein taun matan tamim beimurim legabi mizbeach. Tomorrow Pesach Dorot shatun matim tamim beimurim legabi mizbeach. You, Rabbi Eliezer, wants to learn out from Efshar to Efshar. I have another pircha for you. My pircha is that Pesach Mitzrayim is not a regular korban. It doesn't end up with dam on mizbeach. It doesn't end up with imurim on mizbeach. From that, I can't learn anything to Pesach Dorot. So Amalei Rabbi Eliezer. Rabbi Eliezer responds, Vavadata. He brings in the pasuk. Rabbi Eliezer, leimalei Pesach Midbar yochiach. So why doesn't Rabbi Lezer answer the better answer? Rabbi Lezer brings him a pasuk in the end. Why doesn't he use the answer that we would have given, which is Pesach Midbar Yochiach? I mean that he'll prove it from Pesach Midbar. If Rabbi Akiva has a question on the limud of Rabbi Lezer, he should respond to him and say, listen, you don't want me to learn out of Pesach Mitzrayim? I'll learn out of Pesach Midbar and your whole pircha falls away and I won't have a problem. Why is he answering him up with a pasuk? So when he says, again, L'dvarav to Rabbi Akiva Kamarle, he's speaking in Rabbi Akiva's position. Right, exactly. Didi, Tanim Efshar, Misha Efshar. I learned out of Efshar, Mi Efshar. Shumai Pircha, your question? Pesach Midbar Yochiach. I'm totally set. Didi Dach, Damar Ein Tanim Efshar, Mi Efshar. You, who doesn't learn out from an impossible situation to a possible situation, Vavadta, I have a pasuk for you. Now, Vagar says, Rasha Nami Lifruch. Even after you have the pasuk, let Rabbi Akiva ask on that pasuk. Well, okay, fine. Now you have a hekesh. Why does the hekesh change anything here? If Rabbi Akiva really believes ain dani efshar mi efshar, then just because you have a pasuk, what does that do for you? Where it says a meshesh lemeret im shivim al hekesh. That teaches you that Rabbi Akiva realized once you have a hekesh like this through the pasuk, there's nothing to say. That a hekesh supersedes logic. And therefore, even if you have a pircha, it doesn't change anything. It doesn't do anything. And Rashi says over here, it's important. Rashi says, "Dadam dan kal v'chomer me'atzmo." When it comes to a logical argument, a person can make a kav vachomer his own. Vein adam dam gzeira shava vehekesh me'atzmo. But a person can't on his own make up a gzeira shava or make up a hekesh. Therefore, elim kein lamda mirabo, rabo mirabo halacha l'Moshe Mi-Sinai. Has to be a direct mesora from Moshe Mi-Sinai in order to have it be workable. Therefore, if Rabbi Elazar comes and says, "Vavata tavoda zayv hekesh," about all psachim, what's Rabbi Kiva going to say now? He has a mesora from his Rabbi Mi-Sinai that there a hekesh exists. Rabbi Kiva is going to come along and say, "Well, I have this question on it. I have a logical question on it." Logic doesn't dictate over here. Logic doesn't matter anymore. When you have a mesora like that, logic is irrelevant. And that's why Rabbi Kiva didn't respond anymore. Rabbi Kiva could have responded and should have said, oh, despite that fact, there's still a pircha, even if you have the hekesh. The answer is no. Once you get the hekesh, it's the end of the line. End of the line, because you're talking about a mesora, Moshe Mi-Sinai. Now, Rabbi Kiva didn't have that mesora, so that's why he didn't hold of it. But Rabbi Elazar has that mesora, there's nothing to argue with him about it at anymore. You can't ask questions on his mesora anymore. But Tarbitza more, Tarbitza, which you would think is the name of a place, both Rashi and Tosafot over here say, Tarbitza is the Beit Midrash, Makom Shemarbitzim Bo Torah. So that's a Lashon Tosifu Bo Rabbanan Beshas. That's a Lashon that was added on in the Rabbanan. I don't know if he means the later Rabbanan, the Rabbanan Sovarai, that they added on into the Shas, but they call it Tarbitza. Tarbitza is a Makom of Harbatza Torah, means the Beit Midrash. So Tarbitza, Mor Bechid Davar Lameh Behekesh, Chozer Malameh Behekesh. Wait a minute. Why don't we have a fundamental issue with Rabbi Lezer's limud? How does Rabbi Lezer's limud work, or how are we explaining the Mishnah? According to Rabbi Lezer, in the Mishnah, we're learning like this. We have Pesach Mitzrayim that teaches us to Pesach Dorot, or a Pesach Midbar that teaches me to Pesach Dorot. Then from Pesach Dorot, I'm learning to all other Karbanot that they have to Bab Minachulin. That's what we call a Hekesh Lehekesh. The first Hekesh is Pesach Mitzrayim to a Pesach Midbar to the Dorot, from Bavarta et Avot Azot v'Chodesh Hazeh. So that's the first Hekesh. Then I have the Hekesh from Korban Pesach to other Karbanot, which is Avata Pesach Hashem Lekech and Tzono Bakar. That's double Hekesh. Well, we know, we've learned this in Zvachim. V'chi davar lameid be'ekesh, chozer lameid be'ekesh. Can't do that. So my answer's up. Bichlola yitmar. That what we're talking about over here, you're talking about within one category. Within one category of called Pesach, that's not considered to be a hekesh anymore. Pesach kule echad miltahi. Anything within the category of Pesach considers a one item. So it's more like a gilui milta about what the din or what shame Pesach means. When I learn how to Pesach Mitzrayim to Pesach Dorot, that's not a hekesh. That's telling me that's the din of Pesach. That's what a Pesach looks like. And then I only have one hekesh from Pesach to Shar Karbanot. So now Gemara says, Rabbi Kiva, Pesach, deno ba min achulim min ole. All we've seen so far is Rabbi Kiva's criticism of Rabbi Lezer's Shita. What we don't have is Rabbi Kiva's source for this. He doesn't have Masori, he doesn't have the Hekesh that Rabbi Elazar has. He doesn't agree with it. He thinks it's not a good Hekesh. He has a pircha on it. Ain't done in it, me'afshar, me'afshar. Rabbi Akiva has problems with these limudim. Tosus does mention that Rabbi Akiva does hold of the Hekesh. He just rejects this portion of the Hekesh because of e'afshar to efshar. Tosus says you can't have a Hekesh l'chetzayin, which isn't so simple, but he does suggest that that is what Rabbi Akiva's position is over here. So now, Rabbi Kiva, where does he himself learn it from? He learns it from Adam Shmuel Mishum Rabbi Eliezer. We're going to bring a brayta now. We will only finish the first half of the brayta. It will take us almost halfway through the Amud tomorrow. The second half of this brayta, which is Rabbi Kiva, who learns this pasuk differently, will be the answer to the question. So we won't get to the answer to the question. We'll only get through the first half now, which is the brayta. Now this, we've seen this brayta together in Zvachim before, which is the pasuk v'zot haTorah l'olav l'mincha l'chatat l'asham l'milim l'zevach hashlamim. Here you have a hekesh between all the karbanot. Gemara wants to know, what do I learn out from each one of these items here as a hekesh? Ola, what do I learn out of la? Ma ola tuna kli, avkol ta'un kli. Just like an ola requires a kli, so do everything else, all other karbanot require a kli. Mahi, what are we learning from? Ilei ma mizrak, if you're talking about the receptacle to be the kabbalat adam, to do the kabbalat adam, kabe zivchei shamitzumar namiktiv. That's written, equally written by the Shlamim as it's written by the Olot. Because at Har Sinai it says, Vayaseim ba'agbanot, that they put the blood into agbanot, they put them into receptacles. That's the case, the korbanot that were brought at Sinai were both Shlamim and Olot. So you have the din by Shlamim as well as you have it by Olot. So why would you learn this din out of Olah, not out of Shlamim? Meaning that, why give precedence to the Olot of learning that din? Ela, Sakin. The din that you learn out of Olah, that Olah requires a kli, is a sakin, is a knife. And from Olah, you learn to all the other kavanot that you require a knife and you don't do malika. How do you know that an olah requires a knife? Where do you know that from? Tichtiv. Well, Abraham was going to do Shecht Yitzchak. When to Shecht Yitzchak, he's going to use a knife. Well, how do you know that Yitzchak is an olah? Because when he takes the ayo that's nechaz v'svach afterwards and he replaces the Yitzchak with the ayo, the Torah says that it's an olah tachet beno. It was an olah that was replacing his son. That means when he was bringing his son, it was also an olah. And over there we see what does Abraham use? Abraham uses a knife. He uses a machelet. So that fact that he used a knife over there teaches us by all other cases that also all other kamenot require a knife, meaning that they require a shchita, a knife, and not through melika. So now the Gemara moves on to the next thing, mincha. Now that we did olah, where does the word mincha come to teach me? Ma mincha ina nechelet lezichrei kuna. Just like the mincha is not eaten by anyone except the male kohanim, of kol enachlim ela zichrei kuna. So too, all other kodshei kodeshim, all karbanot could only be eaten by the male kohanim. My, what do you need this for? If you want to learn about the chatat hasham, they are explicit in the psukim that and Korach tells you all the matnot kuna. That's chatat hasham. They're explicitly mentioned that they go to the zichrei kuna. So that can't be what it's teaching about. Okay, so the other one that we don't have written is the zivchei shalmi tzibur, the shlamim of the tzibur, which we're coming on Shavuot, upcoming now. In 10 days, they're going to have the zivchei shalmi tzibur brought. They are classified as kodshei kodeshim, and they're going to be eaten by the zichrei kunas. Maybe that's what we learn out from the word mincha. That's what the occasion is for. The Gemara says we learn out of the ribuy of the kraw in Pasha Korach, because there it says bekodesh hakodeshim tochleno kol zachar yochaloto limeir al zivchei shalmi tzibur sheinach limel zichrei kuna. What's this bekodesh kodeshim tochleno? What's the extra kodesh kodeshim come to teach you that even shalmi tzibur are eaten by zichrei kuna? So when it says tnai, that happens to be machukat tnaim. Ike demaitu lemihocha. Some can be bring it from over here. Vitalei maitu lemihocha. Some bring it from over here. Meaning some bring it from the pasuk by mincha over here in our pasuk of zot torat olav mincha. Some bring it from the pasuk in Korach abu kodesh kodeshim tochlenu. So that's a machukat tnaim. Chatat. What do you do with the word chatat? Ma chatat mikatsha bebelua. Av kol mikatsha bebelua. Just like the Torah tells us by a chatat that if another korban absorbs from the piece of the chatat into it, that it takes on the shape of the chatat. Meaning, if you have a shlamim and a chatat that come into contact, and the shlamim absorb from flavor from the chatat, then the shlamim have a din of a chatat now, and they have to be nisraf in the same time period. They'll go pasul in the same time period as the chatat. So just like the din, this is this way by the chatat. Also, all kodshim is this way. Any kodesh or kodshim that you absorb from, the item that it absorbs will take on the properties of those kodshim. Next one is asham. What do we learn out of asham? Masham ein shafir b'shalya kadosh bo. Just like by an asham, the shafir and b'shalya, the fetus and the placenta are not kadosh. Avkol ein shafir b'shalya kadosh bo. So too, any animal that is brought, the placenta and the fetus are not kadosh. Kasavar, this town obviously holds, but don't kodshim behaviatan ein kadoshim. When it comes to offspring of kodshim, they only become kodesh when they actually are birthed. When they actually are, you would say, from the birth canal. Alright, exactly. Alright, very good. Vidanim, Efshar, Mishi Efshar. Just like Shaul just pointed out, that we learn out, here you have to say that we're learning out Efshar, Mi Efshar. Because the Korban Hasham is only comes, min azacharim, only comes from males. So of course there's no Shafir and Shalya, there's no Shalya, there's no placenta, there's no fetus, because it's a male. So as the Gemara says, at this time I must believe, the Danim, Efshar, Mi Efshar, that we can learn out from females, from this male. So this male can't have it, and we're going to learn out from Hasham to all other Korban. So you're right. That is exactly what is going on here. Miluim, what do we learn out of the word miluim? Ma miluim mochrehem bisrefa, vein balei chayim mochrehem bisrefa, afko mochrehem bisrefa, vein balei chayim mochrehem bisrefa. So that teaches us, miluim comes to teach us that whatever was left over by the Aron uvanav, in the process of the miluim, whatever was left over and they didn't eat or they didn't consume in time, is burnt, is put to srefa. Balei chayim, any extra animals that are there, they are not burnt. Why is that? Because when you bring extra animals, l'achrayut, bring extra animals as backups. By the Miluim, they didn't bring any backups. They didn't bring any backup animals. So therefore, there were no Balei Chaim that were Nisraf. So we learn from there, through to the Dorot, that when you have an extra Balei Chaim, we have a Mutar from Achrayut, it's not the Sreifa, but rather it goes as a Korban, or it's exchanged, and the monies are used for a Korban. Whereas, when it comes to things that are left over, regular notar, that they're left over, anything they didn't consume in time, that was burnt. And that's true also in the Mikdash. Anything that's left over past the Zman, anything that has Lino, that will be burnt. And that we learn out of the Miluim. Shlamim. What do we learn out of the word Shlamim? And this we know from Zvachim. We use this many times in Zvachim. Ma Shlamim mifaglim umitfaglim. Just like Shlamim can be mifagel, they can cause pigol to happen. Umitfaglim. And they also are receptor, they receive pigol. Avko mifaglim umitfaglim. Also, all other carbonotes can be mitfagel and be mitfagel. So if we learn how to pigol, the din of pigol, which is written by Shlamim, we extend it to other carbonotes through Zota Torah. So here's the limud from each of the words in Zota Torah, Ola, Lamidcha, Lachatat, Lasham, Lamulim, Ulzevach Shlamim. From Ola, we learned out that you have to use a knife, we have to use a klisharei to shecht all these animals. Mincha, we learned out, at least according to one Tana, we learned out that Zichrei Kuhuna eat the Zivchei Shalmi Tzibor. Chatat, we learned out that there's this din of Balua, that you have to absorb from Kachim, you take on the properties of those Kachim. From Hashem, we learned that the fetus and the placenta of a Kachim are not Kadosh. Lami Luim, we learned out that you burn things that are left over, but not Balei Chaim. And from Shlamim, we learned out that they did a pigol by all Kochim, not just by Shlamim. So far, we didn't get to what we wanted, which is, what's Rabbi Akiva's position, or how does Rabbi Akiva know that it's a Bamin Achulim? So that'll be in tomorrow's daf. We'll continue. There's Matita Tan, the Mishmid Rabbi Akiva. He learns this pasuk a little differently, and that's what we'll have to deal with tomorrow.